Well, I had some pictures I'm going to show you, because 9 years ago, on July 25th, my youngest son, Matthew, was baptized. So it's cool to see this week pictures come up of his baptism, of him around him at the baptismal font, surrounded by his godparents, and ready to receive Jesus Christ, ready to receive the gift of holy baptism. And on that day, July 25th, 2010, Matthew Joseph DiPello was baptized into Jesus Christ. Saving waters of holy baptism were poured upon his head, and he became a new creation. He received the forgiveness of sins and salvation. He became a child of God. He received the Holy Spirit, as we hear in Acts 2:38, that we're to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He was given new life in Christ Jesus, incorporated into Christ by being united with him through death and resurrection, through his death and resurrection. And he now had life in Christ Jesus, life in Christ's blood, in his grace and his mercy. And this is what was given to Matthew and to all of us in holy baptism. The pictures really didn't matter. I just was going to share them for fun. But that day, Matthew received Christ. And our scripture passage this morning begins with these words. We're looking at, again, Colossians 2. And it says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." As you have received, so walk. So as we are baptized into Christ, as we become children of God, as we receive this good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we are rooted in him, now as you have received, so walk. To walk in Christ is to live in Christ, is to grow in Christ, to continue in the faith that you have received by grace through faith. The reception of Christ and the forgiveness of sins and holy baptism isn't the end. I was going to show you these pictures. They're going to show you, you know, like I said, Matthew around the font of holy baptism, a font much like this one here, where water was poured on his head, and we heard that word from God, those promises from God. But baptism is extremely important in the life of the Christian, and really sets the tone for all of the Christian life. But baptism, baptism is not the end. It's the initiation into this continual journey of walking, of being rooted and built up in Christ Jesus and established in the faith. There's an important part of baptism that when we meet with families before we baptize a child, or even when we're baptizing adults, there's an important part of this discussion that we go through before we end up here at the font on a Sunday morning or whenever else it might be. When a baby is born into this world, there's no doubt that when that baby is born, that baby, he's alive. When he comes out of his mother's womb kicking and screaming, we know that's a good thing. You know, there's no doubt that there is life in this baby. But if we just cut the umbilical cord, placed them on the table, walked away, never attending to his needs, never clothing him, never feeding him or anything like that, we also know that life won't last very long. And so this is true also with holy baptism. When that person, infant or adult, passes from death to life by dying and rising with Christ in baptism, they have new life. This is guaranteed. This is promised. We know this takes place because it's not something we do, but something Jesus does for us. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. They are alive in Christ when that water is poured out upon them in holy baptism. It's not simply that they will eventually have new life in Christ, but they have it now. They're washed, they're purified, they're justified, They're sanctified. They are in Christ, receiving forgiveness of sins, and therefore heirs of eternal life. They have salvation. They're alive. There's no doubt that they're alive. But if that were the last word, of course, spoken upon that child, if that was the last part of being in Christ for that child or that person, it'd be better for that child to die that day by the font, because like the newborn infant who still needs to be fed and clothed and nourished and nurtured, so does the newborn Christian. The newborn Christian also needs to be fed and clothed and nourished and nurtured. It doesn't change what took place in baptism. That's why I said, you know, when that baby is born, naturally we know it's alive. We know there's breath in it. When that baby is born spiritually in baptism, we know it's alive in Christ Jesus because of the promises of Jesus. The baptism doesn't change. The baptism is still the reality. You're alive in Christ. You're a child of God. But if not cared for, if not nurtured, that faith will be choked out. That faith will eventually, well, could possibly, they'll turn their backs on that faith. And we see that happen all the time with people who were baptized but eventually turn their back on the Christian faith. As Christians, we're called to grow always in that relationship of faith in Christ that was bestowed on us in baptism. This is why in Colossians 2, Paul says, just as you received Christ Jesus, just as you became a child of God, so now walk in him. And walk really is synonymous with live. Live. We live, as you know, in the midst of things that pull us this way and that way in our lives, that tend to bring us down, tend to lead us away from the things of God. Walking in Christ, staying steadfast, not being captive by philosophy and empty deceits, like Paul says, that's not an easy thing for us in this world. It's not easy because it's the opposite of what the world will tell you to do, and really the opposite of what your sinful nature that's still fighting will tell you to do. Christ and his cross are foolishness to the world, but they are forgiveness and life for those who are being saved. So danger lurks as you walk through this life. We heard in our gospel reading Jesus teaching the Lord's Prayer, and we know these words, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Because we know that danger lurks as we walk through this life. You walk through the veil of deceit. You walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Sin is crouching behind the door, waiting to devour you, we're told in the scriptures. The devil is sitting, waiting to pounce on you when you fall. And we know that often we do fall. We do stumble. And the devil, he's waiting to show you exactly why you deserve to go to hell and not have eternal salvation with God in heaven. Because you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of the flesh. Your old nature entices you toward a reunion with that old neighborhood of evil. Because you often fall to the satanic powers of temptation, you may feel that a certain root rot, if you will, is churning within your foundation. We begin to doubt what Christ has said. Maybe I'm not rooted in Christ after all. Maybe I don't have the Lord and his good gifts. Maybe I'm not really saved. Maybe I'm not really a Christian. And then we also begin to trick ourselves into the same heresies that the Colossians were dealing with. And part of that problem in Colossae was that they thought they needed to do it all on their own. They thought they had to justify themselves. So we begin to trick ourselves into that same kind of thing, asking ourselves, have I satisfied the law? Have I conquered Satan and his powers? Am I safe now that I've added my own works to Christ's work? But listen to what God tells us. Paul says in Colossians 2, this word from God, the cosmic powers over this present darkness cannot harm you, since Jesus nailed your salvation shut with three words. Those words that he spoke on the cross, it is finished. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18 says, "We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him." So we're to be assured of the forgiveness of sins that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord, who has taken away all of our iniquity. But we live in this world, we live in this time where the devil is still present, where the devil is still tempting us, tricking us, lying to us. There's this beautiful passage I've mentioned before in the Small Catechism where Martin Luther, you know, says, what do we do for that person who doesn't think they need to come, you know, and receive God's sacrament, the body and blood of Jesus Christ? And he says, well, first he should pinch himself or touch himself and make sure he's still made of flesh and blood. And if he's still made of flesh and blood, then he's still dealing, this is a paraphrase, and he's still, you know, dealing with sin in this world. And he should look around. If he's still in this world, then he still has temptation and the devil all around him. That's where we're living right now, in the midst of these lies. And the devil tries to capitalize on these lies, on these temptations, so that we think that, well, so that we think that we are lost. But the reality is that when we fall, when we stumble, when we do things that are not in line with the law of God, the reality is that Christ is there and ready to tell us, even while the devil is still there shouting in our ear, Christ is there ready to tell us, don't listen to him. Your reality is in me. I have taken that sin and put it out of the way. It is as far away as the east is from the west. Your life is in me. And nothing can shake loose this foundation. Though it's possible, you know, to collapse any structure, your safety, rooted in Christ, is guaranteed in the promise of the Lord. So now, in the face of that danger that lurks to capture you, you walk, you live in confidence, knowing that the Lord has rooted you in himself. You walk in safe freedom, not freedom that the world gives, but freedom in Christ, abounding in thanksgiving. So what does walking in Christ look like? And by the way, what I'm trying to say in all of this is not that we can't fall away from the faith, because we can, but that we understand that in Christ is where we find salvation, in Christ is where we are rooted, and that his promises never change even when we wander. His promises don't fall away. He doesn't abandon us even when we abandon him. Those promises remain, and we can return to them each and every time. So what does walking in Christ look like? Well, in next week's epistle reading from Colossians, Paul will exhort us that if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, having to do with a change in our present conduct as a result of the change with our status in the sight of God for eternity. As heirs of eternal life, Christians are to live a life corresponding to the holiness of God given them, rather than a life characteristic of conduct in this evil world, conduct of our evil natures. Paul will tell the Colossians essentially to be what they have already been declared to be by grace. So, next week's reading talks about seeking the things that are above, but today, walking in Christ, while it includes what we are to do, it's not just what we are to do. Walking in Christ is about who we are. Who we are. To walk is to live in Christ. That's why I wanted to start with talking about this baptism of my son, and to recognize that here we find a new identity. Here we find out who we are, and that influences how we walk. It shapes how we walk every step of the way. To walk is to live in Christ. To stay connected as the branch stays connected to the vine. We've been joined to Christ, grafted into the true vine, connected to the body of Christ, being watered and nourished by Christ himself. The call today in our passage, the call to walk in Christ, is something that precedes ethical conduct. It's about faithfulness in believing, trusting. It's about abiding in Christ. So first, to walk in Christ isn't simply about laws and how we do things. First, to walk in Christ is to stay steadfast in Christ, to abide in Christ, to remain faithful, trusting in him and him alone for your salvation and for all that is needed. Paul instructs the Colossians and us to not be mere infants in Christ, but to be mature in that relationship. It means continue until your dying day to be rooted in Christ, to have saving faith in him. The state of having life in Christ consists of having faith which is created by water and the word and baptism and sustained through the means of grace, the word and the sacraments, regularly hearing those words of forgiveness and life, regularly being rooted by the very word of God, and regularly receiving grace and strength both spiritually and physically in the eating and drinking of Christ's body and blood in the Lord's Supper. This continues to keep you in the one true faith. It is the nourishment and nurture needed to keep you alive in Christ in this world of death. It keeps you rooted in life. We become rooted and built up in our relationship with our Lord through regularly being connected with him, where he's promised to meet us, where he has promised to feed us and nourish us, to clothe us in his righteousness, to keep us through his word and through his sacraments. Their faith becomes stronger and stronger and more durable, more ready for the seeking of the things that are above that we'll hear about in next week's reading. You've received the grace and mercy poured out upon you in Christ Jesus through your baptism by the Holy Spirit. You've been rooted. Your foundation is solid. Walking in Christ calls you to stay on that foundation. By the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, stay connected to that life source. Our text says to see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ. And then here's what it says about that circumcision done not by hands, that circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. So as you have received, so walk. Stay in Christ. Live in Christ. In the grace and the mercy that he poured out upon you in baptism, just as he poured it out upon my son 9 years ago, as he pours out upon each infant that comes to this font and every child and every 60-year-old person that comes to this font and so on. Daily, when you rise and when you sleep, remember who you are in Christ Jesus. Daily, remember your baptism. Daily, drowning the old Adam and returning to the new life that is yours in Christ. Don't be swept away by the lies of the devil. Remain, abide in Jesus. For that is the only true life. Otherwise, you'll be like the rest of the world. A dead man walking, like it was talking about in that passage about being dead in trespasses and sin. Instead, we don't walk as those doomed for destruction. We don't walk as those dead in our trespasses and sins. Instead, we walk in newness of life, always connected and always having our cups filled by the only one who has the power to give us life in the midst of death, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So walk in Christ. Live in Christ. abide in Christ, because he gives you everything you need for this world and for the next. Thanks be to God for the life that we have in Christ. As you have received, so walk. Amen.